He's a disgusting man, and he's got a
Terrible.
terrible haircut.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Nudge.
I don't think he's that.
Welcome back, listeners, to another episode of the International Football Podcast, the world's first podcast dealing exclusively with international football. I'm Tal, and with me is Anna. We are the Brothers Gunning, and we are coming at you from Melbourne, Australia, where we are doing it tough. It's winter, and our football day starts at midnight, so we are sounding husky and maybe a little delirious. So, Eamon, we're about to head into the knockout stages. How do you feel the World Cup has gone so far? Has it lived up to your expectations? Has it exceeded them? What's been a standout for you?
Well, going into this World Cup, I was very concerned about how VAR would be used.
Yep. VAR has been it's certainly made its presence felt in this World Cup.
Yeah.
Think it's been for the better?
It's definitely been better than I expected.
Generally, VAR does help you get the more correct decision most of the time. It's probably been just frustrating in terms of it sometimes felt like they weren't using VAR when they should have, or it's very obvious when VAR is being used.
Yeah.
The referee on the pitch walks over and looks at a screen. And so even if you're, like, it's frustrating, like, because the game is paused, but you can see what is happening. And I think that feedback, you know, that of, you know, there is something happening. The interruption to the game is there, but at least you can feel it. And so I think in that sense, it's actually being executed better.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Now, in saying that, there have been some decisions I've disagreed with. And also, I think there have been far too many penalties. And
it's World Cup of penalties.
It's the PK World Cup. And, you know, I think they already surpassed the number of penalties at the last World Cup before the end of the first round. I think it was after about the second round of matches.
Yeah.
So it's changing football.
Yes.
Coaches will have to respond appropriately. But I think the main criticism I had of a lot of the penalties that were given were the ones for handball.
Handball. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't understand. I mean, the rule is accidental, right? That's the rule, isn't it?
No. It has to be a deliberate handball.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
The rule has to be a deliberate.
Yeah,
handball.
But how do you impute intent? And then that's the question, right? What we then have is we have this thing: if the arm is in an unnatural position, okay.
Well, and no, but just, that's not the rule.
No. You cannot. So they have guidelines then for interpreting the rules, right? So the rules are written down, but then you have guidelines that they issue, and they update the guidelines. They don't really update the rules, or the laws, and they update the guidelines for how they're going to interpret the laws. And that's what changes from time to time. So over the years, I think we've come to a position with handball that it hits the arm and the arm is in an unnatural position. But to be that phrase there, in an unnatural position, that leaves it subject to
interpretation again,
right? And so it becomes a non-black and white decision. And I thought with the VAR that they were supposed to be going to VAR to clarify black and white decisions. And so this is then, you know, they're going to VAR for ones that are subject to personal opinion. So Australia had a couple of penalties given. Yeah, there are two goals came from penalties. And I have to say, the second one against Denmark, Christian Poulsen, that although his arm was kind of above his head, it looked to me like it was unintentional. It didn't look like it. Whereas
definitely.
The first one, it was clearly up in the air, like Umtiti from France, but he shot his hand up in the air and it looked like he was trying to handball.
Well, now, yeah, I mean, you could, that's what I mean. I mean, if you bring common sense into the equation, it was clear that Umtiti had done that purposely to deny Jednak a goal scoring chance because it was going over his head. Jednak was there ready to head the ball into an empty net. I couldn't understand, and no one mentioned it, we talked about it, why he didn't even get a yellow card for this. Like, he should have been sent off.
He should have been sent off.
But anyway, there's been a whole lot of other cases where it's clearly just an accidental, where most referees prior to VAR would have just said, nah, look, it's been like that was at point blank range and his arm's down.
Yeah.
And it's just like hit his arm.
If it's out from their body. So basically, I think as a defender, the only time that you can be completely safe is if it is close to your body. If your arm is out, you're subject to being called for it being in an unnatural position. Although, personally, if you're jumping, your arms are naturally going to be slightly out from your body. So,
I just think there needs to be a bit more common sense brought to that.
Yes.
Hopefully
that will evolve over time. I mean, I think it has been good in terms of weeding out the offside decisions, because they're always a little bit frustrating.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that it will eventually lead to people not getting away with diving.
Well, but I think that so far the opposite has happened.
Yeah.
Because we've seen Neymar try to cheat it. Luckily, the VAR caught him out on that occasion. But I think we're going to see more and more diving until diving itself is punished. And that's what I would like to see.
I thought they were going to do that in this World Cup. They would have retrospective action, but they haven't.
I would love to see straight red cards for guys like Neymar, in that situation. Where he's tried to cheat. He's tried to get a penalty and the guy's sent off.
It's embarrassing. Did you see him rolling around the ground the other day when he was... He did about 20 rolls after he got barely tapped.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, dude. You're one of the best players in the world. You do not need to do that. Just
get over yourself. It's a blight on the game. And
it is. Come on.
And that's just gotten worse and worse over the years. And until something's done, it will continue to get worse.
So I'm just wondering, though, moving on away from that maybe and onto the football, what's been your highlight so far in terms of the actual football? We've had a few shocks. We had quite a lot of shocks early on, although in terms of qualifying, there's been basically one massive shock.
Yeah.
Or has it? Given the run of holders being knocked out in the first group stage, was it a shock that Germany didn't get through?
Before the World Cup, I put a bet on Germany not making it past the group stage.
Yeah.
19-1. $3.
Yeah.
But,
Well, personally, for me, it was a shock. I really thought that Germany would get through. I mean, their qualifying campaign was just completely domineering. You know,
10 out of 10 wins.
10 out of 10 wins. They didn't look in trouble in any game at all. 40-odd goals in that qualifying campaign. Yeah, it was really only in the last few friendlies. And then you kind of always forgive someone for who's experimenting that maybe the friendlies don't go their way. I don't necessarily see that as a bad sign, but it turns out it was. The team just didn't get it together at any stage. Even when they won that game with that, in the last gasp minute against Sweden.
I mean, the other thing is, I think it's very difficult when you play a passing game like that and you're playing against a team with 11 men behind the ball. Mexico came out and attacked them, which was great to see.
Yeah.
In the first half they did, the second half not so much. I mean, Germany had something like 27 shots in the game, so they were still getting plenty of the ball and having plenty of shots in a game that most people said they deserved to lose. Against Sweden it was similar. Against Korea, they seem to have lost all urgency. They definitely didn't have as many chances.
Yeah, and, I mean...
Well, you miss Joachim Love picking his nose, his various other orifices, smelling it. Eating it.
No,
I did. Every time you watch him, he's picking his nose or he's smelling some part of his body.
Yeah.
He's a disgusting man, and he's got a terrible haircut.
So one of the other themes coming into this, I had thought that, the African teams would maybe, all five of them I thought were a chance to get out. I mean, Tunisia, I was thinking, well, probably not Tunisia, but all of the five, I really thought all of them had a chance of getting out of their group. Egypt, I had expected to win. I actually picked Uruguay, but I thought Egypt could, if they came through. Wasn't expecting the host nation to perform quite as well. As they have. Senegal, obviously, in the end, went out on the fair play rule, having conceded more yellow cards than Japan, who they finished dead level with. Nigeria, coming up against their nemesis, Argentina, and coming a cropper.
I wasn't expecting anything from the African team. The only team
And then Morocco, I thought, were just, so unlucky, really. I mean
they were actually good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Senegal were average. I mean, average as in good, but not great, those two teams I was expecting something from. And it was sad to see Senegal go out. It was sad to see Morocco not register a win.
Yeah.
But yeah, just Morocco played great football, didn't they?
I loved watching Morocco. And yeah, I couldn't understand how they lost against Iran. And then
Iran were a very defensive team, but they did that really well. Mm. And I was actually really sad when they didn't beat Portugal, because Portugal, they're just they're such a boring team to watch. I mean, apart from that first game against Spain, when that was probably the best game in the tournament so far, that 3-3 draw, that was fantastic to watch.
Yeah,
you know, mainly because of, well, Ronaldo.
Standout performance from Ronaldo. And standout
and Spain.
From Spain. That was definitely the performance. Their midfield
was just wonderful to watch.
And I have to call us out here, because we had said about Spain, about how they didn't have a striker. And then up pops Costa with 2 goals in that first game.
Mm.
And, kind of maybe put us to shame a bit there.
Although, getting back to talking about our predictions...
Mm-hmm.
One prediction I made before the tournament was that Croatia would win that group
and
beat Argentina.
Yep.
Yeah. You listened to our last pod.
Yeah.
So that's come true.
Yep.
What do you think of Croatia so far?
Croatia have probably been the best midfield. I have to admit, of all the teams that have gone through, I've probably seen the least of Croatia. So I didn't actually see all of their games. But from what I have seen, they were completely dominant in their games. Didn't look in any trouble at all. I had hoped that in the last game against Iceland, that Iceland would get a result there. And that Croatia, having already qualified, they wouldn't. But they came out and they won that as well. Even dropping quite a few of their first 10 players. So yeah. Croatia, one to watch.
They don't play an expansive style of football. They most of their chances are created by crosses into the box.
They've got good strikers as well. They've got great midfield, and they've got quite a solid defence. Like, not outstanding, but quite solid. Well, do you think we should maybe have a look at the games that are coming up in the round of 16? Maybe go through and have a bit of a discussion about each team that got through.
Sure. Well, the first game, which is actually tonight. Is France versus Argentina.
Mm. So France.
Yeah.
France, underwhelming.
Very underwhelming.
I think, coming into this, they were probably the fourth favourite. They've got an outstanding squad. They've got, I think I remember you commenting that in our pod, that they could probably field 3 teams in this and they'd all be competitive, because their depth goes so far. And whilst that's true, we did also say that Deschamps maybe wouldn't get the best out of them. And I think that is what's been happening.
Yeah, he's not a good coach. And they are a team of individual stars, but they are not a very cohesive unit. And we saw that as Australia fans in the first game against Australia. It was a very even match.
Mm.
Australia tired at the end, and France's superior fitness levels perhaps told in the end. But yeah, well, you know, you're talking about a team that was ranked, you know, there was no chance given to Australia, but it was actually quite an even game.
Yeah.
And then they continued to, I think they were a little bit more dominant against Peru. Yeah. They had the better chances in that game, but still didn't play well. 1-0 win there.
Yeah.
And in their final game, it was a dour 0-0 draw with the defensive Denmark.
I didn't even bother watching that. I mean, I had put money on that, because that had draw. The draw was the result that got both teams through, so I just knew it would be. So, although, you know, we had the Australia-Peru game, and we were hoping that we would get a win there to give us a chance, the fact that Denmark and France had nothing to play for, or they had everything to play for, in the sense that if they got the draw, they would both go through. It was just too convenient, and that is indeed what happened. And I haven't watched that game. Everyone has said that it's the worst game of the tournament.
Do you remember in the France-Australia game, Luca Hernandez?
He was just awful
to watch.
Yeah.
I was counting. I counted him do a fake dive or pretend to have been hit in the face when there was absolutely no contact.
Yeah,
7 times I counted.
I did switch over during the Australia game. I did switch over to the France game periodically just to check. And it felt like every time I switched over, he was diving on the ground. It was...
I saw it again in the Denmark game.
Yeah.
I saw in the highlight reel. I watched the highlights. And one of the highlights was him diving in the penalty box. And he didn't get a penalty. But this is a... You know, he... I swear to God, people like this are ruining the game, but he is the worst I've ever seen in the history of football. The worst diver.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he certainly got into double figures against us. And embarrassing. Embarrassing for
the
game.
I really hope Argentina go through here. You know, so Argentina, when they had 1 point after the first two games, I put a sneaky bet on them to win World Cup.
Did you?
Yeah, I think they were at that time. The odds weren't that great.
Yeah.
They were about 24 to 1 or something.
Uh-huh.
But wouldn't it be absolutely amazing
if
Messi turned around now? They knocked out France and, you know, all of their diving and just... Seriously, I'm not a big fan of France. Going back to... I like Thierry Henry, but going back to that incident against Ireland...
Which VAR would have caught.
VAR would have caught. And now that Luca Hernandez doing it, and he wasn't the only one either. Mbappe was guilty of it. I would just love to see Argentina.
Yeah. So, well, look, I'm normally a Francophile. Like, I know everybody loves to hate the French. I love to hate the English. I love I actually love the French people. But this French team is annoying the crap out of me.
I can't stand
Argentina.
Their football team. No, I can't
come
stand
on.
Their football team. Yeah.
Oh, did you see
that? France and Brazil, but we'll get to them later.
Yeah. Did you see Leo's goal? Finally, that came in the third game. Messi's
against Nigeria.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
How amazing was that bit of skill that he did? So
he took it on his thigh.
He's sprinting forward, takes it on his thigh, lays it onto his foot, onto his left foot, without breaking any sense of a stride at all, plays it out onto his right and then kicks it in with his right, which is not his favourite foot. He's very heavily left foot. But it was... I likened it to catching the ball and rolling it out. It was just as seamless as that, you know, like... Because there was just no stride broken at all. It was incredible. I've never... Who does this?
Some Nigerian fans I saw being interviewed before the game were saying that Messi was going to be crying at the end of the game. Very confident. Yeah. Didn't turn out that way, no.
Yeah. I mean, they were lucky. They got that goal from Rojo and in the end, who... You know, there was that incident with the VAR when Rojo went up for a defensive header and actually knocked it against his own hand, which went to VAR and it was not given as a penalty.
And this is the point that, because it was, you know, towards the end of
the
round, but this is, I felt that by this stage, the referees were starting to change their tactics. Like, it was as if they had been told, look, you guys, you're giving too many penalties.
Yeah.
Have a think about, you know, they're not all penalties, these, you know, handball incidents.
I thought that was a big decision because it had clearly hit his arm and his arm was out from his body. But it was also clearly accidental. So it was good to see a little bit of that common sense, as you called it, coming through. Yeah.
It's interesting.
So you're thinking in this that Argentina will get through?
I'm not saying they will get through. I'm saying I want them to get through.
Yeah. But you've put money on them.
Yeah. That doesn't mean anything.
Okay. All right. I personally, I think France will have too much. Argentina have been shocking.
They're not very good, are they?
They've been terrible. Been terrible, terrible, terrible. It's so disappointing.
I think, personally, they should play to their strengths and just play a few more of their attacking players. I mean, Dybala doesn't get a look in. Just play them out of position. I don't know.
Centre-back?
Just not centre-back, but play three forwards, wingers, guys in the attacking midfield. Play to your strengths and just forget about defence because your defence is awful.
So I think... In that last game, they did try that a little bit. They had Benega playing and trying to take a little bit of the creative load off Messi.
Yeah,
and
he played,
I think,
well.
Messi played out on the right wing a bit more, I think, cutting in onto the left. I mean, still completely dominant, but I think they were trying something different in that game, so maybe they can come up with something for this. But the other game then on that night is the Uruguay-Portugal game.
Yep.
So this... Uruguay were one of my dark horses coming into this.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah. They have that easy group to start off with. They have this young team that's coming through, apart from the two strikers, right? It's a relatively young team. And they have actually they've lived up to everything that's been hoped for them. I think Uruguay have been quite in the first two games they were kind of getting it together, but they got the results right, and that's what you need to win the World Cup.
Yeah,
you need a great defense and then be able to sneak the goals in. And then in their third game they hammered the host nation, who I don't know if they just couldn't find the drugs or what was going on, but
we apologize to our listeners in Russia, in the Russian Federation. Yeah, look, Tim Vickery from the World Football Phone-In, the BBC, he was talking Uruguay up in the lead-up to this World Cup and their young team. I was doubtful that they could, because those midfielders, apart from Bentancur, don't really play at a high level. And I watched the first game against Egypt, and it wasn't that impressed, to be honest.
Mm.
Thought Egypt on the counter-attack were getting some good chances. But look, you know, I didn't think Uruguay played particularly well, but they won, as you said, they won the game. Yeah. And they've won all their games.
Now, and in my fantasy team, I, from the beginning, have loaded up on their defence. You know, I've got their goalie and Diego Godin in my they are a really solid defensive unit. So it'll be interesting, because in this now they'll be up against Portugal. And Portugal, apart from Ronaldo, have kind of struggled. Mm. Like, there was obviously that amazing game against Spain, as we spoke about.
Look, Cristiano Ronaldo is a brilliant player. But even he barely touches the ball in any given game. In that game against Spain, he barely touched the ball apart from scoring three goals.
Not a bad effort.
And then it was the same in the following matches. That game against Iran, I was very saddened when Iran actually came forward in that game. They had some great chances. And in the last minute, they had a great chance to win it. It would have knocked Portugal out.
Yes.
Send them through, and the guy didn't put it on target. But
they looked a very, very solid unit, I thought, Iran. I was surprised at how well they had done. I know you had mentioned that they'd been very solid in the qualifying campaign and they hadn't conceded any goals.
Look, Portugal, I think, they're not an attractive team to watch, are they?
No.
But they're good at getting jobs done. Mm. You have to give that to them. I mean, they won the European Championships playing this football.
Yeah, it's time for them to go.
I again, would like to see Uruguay go through. Mm. The 538 statistics website says Portugal have a 55% chance of going through.
I think Portugal are the slight favourites, and France are the slight favourites in the Euro game.
Actually, according to the bookies, Uruguay are the favourites.
Depends on the bookie.
No, but I think most bookies have Uruguay's favourites. But statistics website 538 are going with Portugal slightly.
Mm.
Look, I think it's going to be close. What's your tip for that one, Terence?
Tip? I'm going to go with Uruguay. It's very close to call.
Suarez v. Ronaldo.
Yeah. Yes. I'm sticking with that. Come on, Uruguay.
Lucy Zelich got in trouble for pronouncing the names of players in their... what the pronunciation was supposed to be.
Mm.
Now, however, she actually pronounced Ronaldo's name incorrectly.
Ronaldo.
She said Ronaldo, but it's actually pronounced Ronaldo.
Yes, I think he actually pronounces it Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
I don't think he says Ronaldo.
Okay. Well.
I mean, he may be saying his name wrong, and I don't dispute that, Amy. But
just watch some Portuguese commentary of him playing,
yeah.
And they say Cristiano Ronaldo. Yeah, it's a slight chit at the end.
Okay, yeah. All right, I'll listen for that. All right, moving on.
Croatia, Denmark. We did mention Croatia briefly before. They have stunned the world by beating Argentina 3-0. That was probably, that's for many people, has been the highlight of the World Cup so far.
Their performance or the result?
Both.
Mm.
3-0 against Argentina.
I thought Mexico against Germany was probably a bigger upset, even though it was only 1-0. Like, everybody was sort of saying this Argentina team could implode.
I don't think everyone was saying that. I said it.
Mm, most people were saying it. I don't remember anyone saying that Argentina were going to do much. Everybody was saying, I hope they do for...
Who did you tip for this group? I tipped Croatia.
Yeah, I went against Croatia. I had said that I thought, although they had the players to do it, that they wouldn't pull together. That's what I was worried about for them. that the disruption off the pitch would influence them.
There seems to have spurred them on, if anything.
Yes, that's right. The opposite has happened. And the Croatian people weren't really behind this team.
Well, Modric himself, most Croatian society has been split in two. Half of them support him. Many are really angry with him for the part he played in a corruption trial where he apparently lied to a court in order to get off former head of the FA there.
Yeah. So he's now being charged with perjury. Yeah. And he could serve time in jail, up to 4 years. And that's what I thought, that maybe those things would hang heavy on the team, but it hasn't. So they have performed to their undoubted quality level, and they have come through.
Would be stunning to see a country like Croatia win the World Cup. It's a very small country like that, population of 4 million.
Yeah,
they're up against this Danish team, who were in Australia's group. Australia probably outplayed them in that 1-1 draw they had.
Yeah.
But Denmark were very strong defensively, weren't they, Tom?
They were, yeah. Look, there wasn't anything that we hadn't seen before from Denmark. I think we knew that they were an uninventive team, apart from their star man, Christian Eriksen.
I actually was really impressed with Pione Sisto in the game against Australia, particularly. For me, he was the most likely to create something or score. Yeah. Very talented, very quick and powerful.
Mm.
And he's had a good season in La Liga. So definitely a danger man for them.
Yeah.
Croatia, though, are clear favourites to go through.
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'd be shocked if Denmark got a result in this. I think it's possible because they are good defensively and But so are Croatia. So this is another one. There's going to be a tight game, but I expect Croatian quality to come through.
In the last podcast, you'll remember that Croatia were my dark horse for this World Cup.
Mm.
Not to win it, but to do well. But I'm going to now shock everybody and say that Denmark might qualify here.
Okay.
And you know what? I'm using the football gods.
Okay. Interesting.
I've been communing with the football gods,
yes,
and they've told me that Denmark are going to win this.
It's Danish time.
Yeah, so one thing when you watch football over decades, one thing you notice is that there's the rule of don't do too well because then you'll be due a loss.
Yeah.
And
you think that
three group wins is a bad omen.
Mm-hmm.
They're due to fuck up at some stage.
Yeah.
And I think it could happen in this round. Yeah. You know? Whereas Denmark have had a couple of draws already.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with Argentina, that the football gods could be on their side because they've done badly, but again they're not playing very well. Uruguay, it could be a bad omen for them. So
they won three games. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, do you see what I mean?
I do.
Spain, on the other hand.
Yes.
Which is the next game we'll talk about, Spain v Russia. Spain have drawn twice, so they've used up some of their bad luck, and I think that could be a good omen for them.
Yeah, so scraping out of the group as opposed to winning convincingly, it is often a good sign, because what often happens is that people play themselves into form, whereas the people who start the strongest can't maintain the form across the duration
entire
tournament, right?
So Brazil did it in 2002.
Yeah.
Won 7 out of 7, but that was a weekend tournament. Yeah. In the last tournament, Germany drew in the group stage against Ghana. And I think that, you know, the football gods look kindly upon them after that.
So, Spain, Russia. Russia have had their bad luck, so maybe it's their turn for good luck in this.
Well, I think the only thing I can see getting Russia through in this game is
if they get the chemistry right.
No, it's the referee, the crowd.
Did you see what I did there?
Well, possibly the chemistry as well.
I make it a little bit clearer. So during the World Cup, it has been revealed that FIFA have overlooked a whole lot of drug cases that came to light in Russia around about 18 months ago. They've all been swept under the carpet. And now here we are at the World Cup. And what happens? Sure, I mean, often the host nation does really well. But this host nation has run everybody off the park. They've
apart from Uruguay.
No, they've run every... No, run, as in...
Oh,
in
run,
terms
yes.
Of, yeah, yeah. So they've run more Ks than absolutely everybody else by quite some distance.
And that's a bit suspicious.
I'm just laying out the facts.
I was watching an interview with Lothar Matthäus yesterday, and he said Vladimir Putin is a very nice man and his friend.
Lothar Matthäus. Not sure that I would use him as a person to give a personal referee. Yeah. A great defensive midfielder for Germany in the early 90s. But maybe his personal politics are not so good.
So looking at this game, I mean, Spain, what a wonderful team to watch. That game against Portugal, the way they came back and just dominated that, passing the ball around. Yeah, it was just wonderful to watch them. And I'd love to see Argentina win the World Cup. I wouldn't mind Spain winning it either, just because... Do you know, I think Iniesta has been absolutely fantastic in this World Cup. In all three games.
I think that mistake that he made.
Which one?
Remember the mistake for the goal? Between the bit of the mix-up between him and Ramos, I think it was.
That's right, against Morocco.
But I mean, I think he made up for it then a couple of minutes later with just his trademark pass.
Yeah.
Splitting a defence, you know, through like five or six people to lay on an assist for someone,
I wasn't expecting him to feature so much,
no.
But he featured in all three games, and he's just...
Going out on a high.
Such a quality player.
Yeah.
Isco has also been in form.
Yes.
Do you give Russia any hope?
Legitimately, no.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think the result against Saudi Arabia, which, you know, that was the opening game, 5-0 they won, and it shocked everyone. And, you know, you could say that was the host nation. Host nations always do better. They outperform. Then they beat an Egypt team that did not show up at the World Cup. Very disappointing. They were a mess. And then they were terrible against Uruguay. They really were. Uruguay tore them apart. Don't know what that Russian defender was doing in clearing up the wall when Luis Suarez was taking his free kick.
He was pushing in the wrong way, wasn't he?
He was pushing so there was two Uruguayans on the end of the wall.
Yeah.
The Russian wall. He grabbed them and rugby tackled them.
Yeah.
Which has been another feature of the World Cup, I have to say, rugby tackles. Rugby tackled them out of the way so that Suarez would have quite a nice shot at goal. And unfortunately, his goalkeeper wasn't quite ready for that. Maybe it was part of a plan, I don't know. And Suarez just he slid it into the bottom corner.
Mm. Yeah, look, at the World Cup, I mean, we have seen South Korea in the past use home advantage to their benefit.
I remember you were a bit dubious about that one as well. I remember you having a few...
I personally,
things to say about the refereeing decisions that went the South Koreans' way.
I personally thought the Italians were just whinging they always do over that game. The one against Spain, there were two clear goals that were given as offside that Spain that were not offside. But I think those kinds of things are harder to happen now with VAR.
Yeah.
Right? Surely.
Yeah.
So
just goes straight up bribery, I think.
That's the only way Russia can get through.
Well, I wouldn't put it past them. And, you know, let's see how they go. Who are you tipping anyway?
Spain.
Okay.
Brazil.
One for the good guys.
Brazil, Mexico, this should be...
Who did you tip in the other games? You didn't actually say.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, well, I said Denmark.
Yeah.
I said Uruguay.
Oh, you went with Uruguay in the end. I wasn't sure who you went with.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right. I didn't really tip anyone at France, Argentina. Look, I'll go at my heart and say Argentina.
Yeah. France will win that. But I want to see in all South America. But I am tipping Uruguay. I'm tipping Spain.
Now, the next game, Brazil-Mexico, that should be very interesting.
Why? Mexico always get to the round of 16, and Mexico always lose at the round of 16.
I really hope they get through this one. Like, Brazil, along with France, are two teams I'm not... Even though I tipped Brazil to win the World Cup at the beginning of this, Neymar is a dog, and I don't particularly enjoy... Is he the only dog in the team?
He is.
Marcelo's a dog.
Yeah, he might be injured.
Okay.
Yeah, Marcelo's just a competitor. I mean, Neymar...
I don't like Firmino.
He doesn't really get his game.
I know, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Brazilian people, but...
There's too many of these people in the team that are very hard to love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neymar, yes, I know. He's doing himself no favours.
I like Coutinho. I think he's a good player.
Mm. He scored a wonderful goal, didn't he?
He scored a couple of good goals, but the problem with Brazil, I don't think they've been that impressive, to be honest. I didn't see the full match against Serbia, where apparently they were a bit better.
Right.
But I saw the game against Costa Rica, and I thought they were so average.
Oh, they were very lucky.
They were very lucky to get a win in
that
game.
Two goals in injury time.
Yeah, and Costa Rica had their chances as well. And they drew against Switzerland. You know, they've won the group comfortably, but I don't know if they're playing the best football in the world.
Mm.
Whereas Mexico have come out with...
Football gods? What did the football gods say about Brazil? They had their draw in Switzerland.
No, I think they had a draw, so that's good for them.
Yeah.
The football gods are shining on Brazil, but they're also shining on Mexico because Mexico never get past the round of 16, not right. since 1986.
So you're looking for that run to end.
Yeah.
This is the time.
And Mexico have shown some incredible spirit by outplaying Germany, not just beating them, but outplaying them for much of the game.
Mm. What happened against Sweden?
But they were awful in that game. Sweden won 3-0. It could have been 5 or 6. Like, what happened to Sweden? Right. Is what I want to know, because Sweden never do this. They're a defensive team.
Yeah.
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, years ago, Ireland outplayed Sweden, and it was a 1-1 draw in the European Championships. I would never expect within 2 years they'd be playing this kind of football.
Yeah.
You know.
Everything did seem to go right for them in that game. So I don't know if they'll have another performance like that.
Yeah, I mean, they were a bit unlucky against Germany. I mean, Germany dominated, but that, you know, last second goal didn't...
Germany dominated, but Sweden looked a chance.
Oh, yeah, on the counter. Game. Yeah.
And I only thought that they started playing badly after Boateng got sent off in the last sort of 10 minutes when they had the extra player.
Weird, yeah.
And you didn't have them running into the corner. John Guidetti took a shot at goal with 2 minutes left, but it was a crap shot. And he should have just run into the corner. I mean, they wanted the draw. They gave up the ball. Neuer knocks it down. They win the stupid free kick on the edge of the box. And then Toni Kroos stepped up with that amazing goal. But in the end it was all for naught because Germany are out and Sweden went through. But that is the only time when I thought they haven't actually played smart and well.
There was a very interesting article on 538 about how referees don't ever, almost never, add on enough stoppage time.
Yes.
And the only match so far in the World Cup in which the referee added on enough, and in fact added on more than he should have, was in that game, that Germany versus Sweden game.
Something happened in injury time, though, to add on an extra 2 minutes. I think somebody got an injury, didn't they? Or there was something that caused an extra 2 minutes to be added on.
But apparently, I think, though, it goes to show that Sweden weren't time-wasting.
Yes. Yes. They should have been time-wasting.
So, in other games, the one that was the biggest culprit, I think, was Iran against Morocco. The referee should have added on an extra 10 minutes. They actually timed all of the stoppages.
Wow.
And he added on 10 minutes less than he should have.
Wow.
Based on, you know, these timings.
Actual stoppages.
Yeah.
Wow.
But in the Sweden-Germany game was the only game where the referee added on more time than he should have.
Yeah.
Like by 20 seconds or something.
Yeah, well, it didn't matter in the end. I mean, they got that victory and Sweden got the defeat. But
Brazil are clear favourites for the game against Mexico. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit surprised by that. I mean, yes, Mexico had a big loss in their last game, but they've looked good in this tournament.
Okay.
They've looked capable of beating top teams, and they've beaten Brazil a number of times, whether in Copa America or Federations Cup. They've never been able to take a big scalp, really, in the World Cup, have they?
No.
They have a huge following in Russia.
Yes, they do.
That's got to help. I mean, there are tens of thousands of Mexicans.
45,000 or something is what I heard.
Along with Colombia and Peru, they seem to have the most supporters. What are you expecting from this game?
I mean, it's hard to predict anything other than a Brazil win. The Mexico that turned up for that Sweden game, I can't make sense of it, right? They actually still had to perform. They weren't through.
They weren't through.
So to have lost 3-0, I can't understand that except to say that something has gone wrong. Now, they performed amazingly well against Germany, and they had a long time to prepare plan for that game.
Mm.
Will they have had the same chance for this Brazil game? You know, maybe they have prepared for it. I don't know. Maybe they thought they would come up against Brazil in this game. It's hard to see them getting through this. That Swedish result has knocked the stuffing out of them.
I give them a chance. I'm surprised Brazil are such clear favourites. I think this will be a difficult game for them.
Yeah. If the Mexican team from the Germany game turns up, yes.
Yeah.
If the Mexican team from the Swedish game turns up, no.
Now, moving along, Belgium and Japan.
Yeah. So, you know, before the comp, I think we picked Belgium to win their group, but we weren't expecting Japan to come through second in that group.
So I in the previous podcasts before the last one had picked Japan to get through.
They were pretty sure you called them to come last in this for this.
In the last podcast, yeah. I had changed my opinion, but for a number of podcasts they were my tip just from watching them quite a bit play football. Yeah, yeah. But
I think we had come to the point though with Japan where we thought they were past their best.
They had changed their coach.
I'm okay to admit that Japan have done better than I had thought they would. I think they were lucky
They're a bit lucky.
So in that first game against Colombia, they had a player. There was a player sent off from Colombia
after three minutes,
right? And they ended up winning that game. And I don't know that they would have won that game if they were playing against 11.
Even after Colombia went down to 10 men, they totally dominated the first half.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until the second half when they'd had a chance, Japan had had a chance to recuperate and talk about their plan, that they just started passing the ball around, which they're very good at.
Yeah.
And they started to dominate and tire the Colombians out.
Yeah.
So they got the win.
Yeah. But then they drew 2-2 with Senegal.
It was a pretty even game. Japan might have probably had the better second half chances.
I think Senegal probably had the better of the first half chances though.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it evened out in the end. And then against Poland, they lost. Poland were terrible. That is another thing that
Poland are always terrible at these tournaments.
I'd said that Poland gave them no chance at all.
You got that right.
I got that bit right. Disappointing.
But they totally dominated the game against Japan.
Mm.
Japan didn't try and win.
Japan changed. They made a lot of changes for that game. I didn't quite understand it.
What I cannot understand.
And they ended up losing it. And they only got through. They only scraped through because they finished with the exact same record as Senegal. And they only scraped through on the fair play rule.
Lewandowski missed an open goal as well. But what I cannot understand at all is why Keisuke Honda is not getting this game. He is one of my favourite players ever. He is such a brilliant, such a talented player. Every time I've watched Japan
play
dozens of games, the full games, and Keisuke Honda is always their best player.
Hmm.
They're playing like Shibasaki. He was awful in the first game. Honda, as soon as he came on, he set up the goal for Japan to go ahead of Colombia. And then in the second game, he scored the equaliser to make it 2-2. He's just such a talented player. He's brilliant. He's a little bit older now, but he's not even, he's what, 31? He's not old. Definitely should be playing.
So in this game, Belgium, Japan, what are you expecting?
I think Belgium will win. I think they're too strong. So Japan, one thing about Japan I like is I like watching them. They play nice football. They pass the ball around, but they're too nice. And it's
technically
the same,
very good. They just don't have the cutting edge.
They're too nice. Like if you watch, they don't cheat like the South American teams do.
Yeah.
You know, the American teams who are just like constantly
the Western European teams.
France, yeah. But England. Not. Oh, no, I think England are gentlemen.
Yeah. So, in the other half of this fixture, it's Belgium. And we had the absolute disgrace of the World Cup that nobody is talking about. When two teams came out and tried to lose a game. Absolute disgrace. I mean, football is not about losing. About winning. And
but Japan did the same thing though. They didn't try to lose. They started passing the ball around.
I think England should have been sent home at that point for successfully losing that game.
I don't know about that. I mean, both teams are trying to conserve the energy of their players. You know, they're going to the second round. They're both qualified. It's much of a muchness.
I'd like to think that that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be, if that's all it was, then fair enough, you know. I mean, both are, it is a long tournament, 7 games, so maybe that's what they're trying to do. But it's just very hard to countenance that when after the game, Gareth Southgate was asked, if you were trying to win that game, you would have brought on Harry Kane, yeah? And he said, yeah.
Mm.
And he didn't bring on Harry Kane. So anyway, Belgium managed to get the win in that game. And
your dark horse before the tournament?
Yeah, well, you know, well, they were my dark horse, yeah. Them, Belgium and Uruguay are my dark horses for this.
Okay, so anyway, we're both tipping Belgium to beat Japan, which is too nice. They don't, like, Falcao from Colombia, just rolling on the ground, constantly cheating, constantly looking for the referee, constantly asking to give yellow card to the other opposition. Japan don't do that. Korea don't do that. England don't do that. But some of these teams do. And I think Japan are just too nice, so they're going to lose. Sweden, Switzerland, Terence.
Did you have anything to say about Belgium, though?
Just that they're good.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that they're good. Lukaku's on form. Hazard's playing well.
Yeah.
Full of superstars. What else can you say?
Yeah. I actually did tweet about Lukaku. You say he's on form. I did tweet about him at one point saying, is he able to pass the ball? Because I think at that stage, that was in the second game, I think, so that would have been against Tunisia. He hadn't made a successful pass, but then within a couple of minutes, he'd gotten two goals. So his all-round football ability, something to be questioned, but his deadliness in front of the goal has been... has left him. No stones unturned there. So he's on four goals, I think, for the tournament. Joint second with Ronaldo behind Harry Kane. Yeah, the Belgians have looked a bit flaky defensively.
Maybe. Yeah, I saw Alderweireld get skinned by Kasri from Tunisia and outrun.
Yeah.
That was a bit concerning, I think.
Yeah. Witsel has probably performed better than I thought he would.
He's always been a good player.
Yeah. Martinez plays him over Dembele, and I think in the end that's kind of worked out. Carrasco has had lots of chances and hasn't, if the football gods are watching him, they'll get a goal in this game. But yeah, the other person I wanted to say, De Bruyne, was surprisingly quiet. So I don't think he's done much so far. Now, De Bruyne, you know, has been the outstanding player in England for the last year, but he plays in a slightly different, more deeper role for Belgium, it seems.
Well, he used to play in a more attacking role for Belgium than he did for... But he played well in the first game, I thought, against Panama. He was quite involved in that. But, yeah, I haven't really noticed him since.
So
you changing your opinion about Belgium? You don't think they'll win anymore?
I'd like to see them win. They'll come up, assuming they have to win this game first, so we'll see what happens after that, how well they do. It was interesting, like obviously a lot of people were very happy with England after their two results, but in the first two games against Panama and Tunisia, but they had the exact same, you know, the standing was exactly the same as Belgium. And then Belgium actually beat England, I mean the B team, Belgium B team beat the England B team.
Well, we'll get on to England in a minute. When I was younger, a lot of people used to confuse Sweden with Switzerland.
Oh, right. Because of the sweat.
Yeah, and in fact, I think they still do.
Yeah.
Now they're playing each other, people are going to be really...
Yeah, and they probably won't be able to tell them apart.
Nah.
Probably end up 0-0. I think this could be quite a dour game. I'm thinking that this is going to be possibly two very solid defensive teams trying not to make mistakes. You know, Switzerland and Sweden have shown that they have a little bit going forward, but it seems to be more on the counter-attack.
Oh, no, it's not Switzerland. Switzerland are a high-pressing passing team.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to see what happens in this game, but I'm going to miss one. That might be the one I'd miss.
Switzerland have a great high press. The game against Serbia was really good, I thought. Serbia were perhaps a bit unlucky. They should have had a penalty, which may have made it 2-1 to them. In the end, Switzerland won 2-1.
It was game two halves.
Serbia
far better in the first half. And Switzerland weren't really... And then it all switched at halftime.
But then the decision to not give Mitrovic that clear penalty.
Yeah, when he was rugby tackled by two players at the same time.
And this is a VAR thing, you know. I mean, how VAR they didn't see that, I don't know.
Yeah.
But then, Sweden has thrown a spanner in the works by coming out and thrashing Mexico 3-0 and having millions of chances, whereas they're usually a counter-attacking defensive team. You know, I don't know what to think of Sweden anymore. I mean, we know what Switzerland brings to the party, but if Sweden can play like that again, I think they'll be tired. They've got to be. They must have put in the two performances against Germany and against Mexico. Surely have taken it out of them. Switzerland, We know that Shaqiri and Granit Xhaka will be playing. They haven't been suspended after the Albanian Eagle signs to Serbian fans after scoring goals against them. That's a big boost for them. Look, this is one of those games. It's probably the tightest game of this second round.
Mm.
I'm going to pick Switzerland.
I'm fairly confident that Switzerland will get through this.
Yeah?
That's how I feel about it. I think I've seen...
That Swedish performance against Mexico hasn't changed your mind?
That is the most anomalous result of this World Cup. I don't know what happened in that game. Like, neither Mexico nor Sweden played like they had played.
Mm.
And it was completely weird. So I'm just going to ignore that game. And then when I ignore that game, Sweden don't look so good. And Switzerland...
You're very negative about Sweden. I remember in the last pod, you didn't give them any hope of qualifying. And I was talking about how they beat Italy. And you were like, nah, you don't think they're very good. And despite their performances, you've continued your anti-Sweden
stance. I wouldn't say that. I picked Sweden to beat Italy.
Yeah, but you didn't pick them to get through. You were playing them down.
I didn't think they had very much going forward. And somehow, they are scoring goals. Like, Berg is not a great striker.
Okay, time's of the essence, and we have to move on to the last game. Colombia, Group H winners against runners-up of Group G, England.
England are actually quite strong favourites, and I don't see them being that strong favourites for this. They've obviously played for this result, right? I mean, they wanted to get into this half. They went out and they lost that game against Belgium.
I don't know if I'd agree with that. I don't think they lost on purpose.
Well, Gareth Southgate said they did, so...
No, I don't think he did.
That's what he said in the press conference. He was asked whether he would have brought on Harry Kane if he was trying to win the game, and he said yes, so... I don't know. How I interpret that is that he's saying I wasn't trying to win the game.
No, I mean, both teams rested players because they were through.
Yeah.
I think
he was happy with the defeat.
No, what I'm saying is I think he'll be thinking about the next match. The most important thing is that the next second round match is more important than anything. I don't think he's like, tried to get into this half of a draw or anything.
Oh, so based on what he said, the interpretation is that he was happy with the defeat.
But anyway, I'd agree with you that... So 538 give England a 60% chance of winning. I would say this is more of a 50-50. I mean, Colombia have been really good, right? I mean, the one game they lost, they had a player sent off after 3 minutes. But they're actually quite good. I mean, they've dominated the other two games. Would you say they dominated against Senegal? I think they dominated.
Did when I saw Colombia playing, I thought they played some of the best football that I've seen at the World Cup. Their midfield looked very solid and very creative at the same time. And in Falcao up front, I know you don't like him, but...
He's a bastard. But that's what you want. You want a bastard
striker, right? I mean,
he gets shit done. He's always trying to get the other players the other card. He's always causing the defenders problems. He's diving. He's good for them, you know.
Mm.
He'll get stuff happening, and he's a lethal bastard.
Yeah.
How about England? How do you see England's chances here?
Look, England have definitely done very well. I think they managed to get past the typical English mentality problem that they have. Like, England are not a good tournament team, and they haven't done well at tournaments for a long time. Even when they've had better players than they have now. And they have no central midfield to speak of at the moment. They have some great fullbacks. Kieran Trippier has had an outstanding couple of games in the first couple of games. They have a world-class striker in Harry Kane, so they've got lots of strengths. And then they have, there's a few other players like Lingard has had a decent World Cup. So, you know, they've definitely got lots of good things going for them.
Mm.
On the negative side, there are a few things, but, unfortunately, I think they're getting caught up in just how good they're doing. They had the exact same record as Belgium. Yet they're
every tournament's the same.
So, and that's what
they
I'm worried about.
They play it down, but then they get excited and they think they're going to win the World Cup.
And then they come a cropper. So they, like the classic thing is they lose against the first good team they've played. Now, they lost against Belgium.
They haven't played a good team yet. I don't count the game against Belgium because it was B team against B team.
And
but they've played two shit teams. So
this
will be the first time they've come up against a good team.
Yeah.
Right? Colombia are good. So
I mean, their first half against Panama was ridiculous. Like, they were up 5-0 at halftime, and I was going, they could easily get that 10-0 and have the World Cup record for the biggest win ever. They looked that good, and Panama looked that bad. So well, Panama, I thought, came out in that game and were trying, they were actually trying to kick England out of the game. They decided they couldn't play football against them. I don't know why.
They also, the Panama came out and attacked England in that game, and that's why they were down 5-0 at halftime. The second half, they defended. They put men behind the ball, and it was 1-1 in the second half.
Yeah, and looking at the XG for that game, England's XG was 1. So they had two penalties as well, right? So their XG, though, was 1. So they far outperformed, in terms of the goals scored, what they expect to get from that game. Which is good, but you know they're probably not going to do that in every game, and they were playing against a very bad Panama team.
What impressed me about England in that game was not the result or the performance of their players. It was I felt like there was a lot of team spirit, and I felt like as well though. Like the Panama players were doing some horrible tactics. Like they were hacking the English players. I mean, on that one of the penalties, there were actually two fouls. It's the first time I've ever seen that ever, where it wasn't just one penalty. It should have been two penalties same time. They were just rugby tackling the English players to the ground. But there were a whole lot of things. They were trying to get them off the ball. At one point, that Panamanian, I'm not sure how you say it, that dreadlocked guy, he was poking Harry Maguire in the face, trying to get a rise out of him, trying to get him to react. They had talked about this clearly before. We'll try and get them sent off.
That was my feeling exactly. Like that.
And he didn't react.
Yeah.
He just looked at him, smiled at him. That's really good. Because you remember in the past, this has cost England David Beckham getting sent off against Argentina in 98 because he reacted. I think Southgate has got them really carefully thinking about how they are approaching each game. And I think that's one thing that's different about this England team.
Yeah, I think their mentality is much better. And that has been the thing that has held English teams back. So maybe they can do it. I'm disappointed that they did what they did in that game. But, you know, I do want Colombia to come out and beat them because of that. I'd like somebody to, you know, get a comeuppance that tries to do that sort of thing. But, you know, especially if James is out, I think England will go through in this game.
Oh, you're picking England because James is out? Okay.
I think England will go through.
Really?
In this year. I mean, I've put money on Colombia because it's paying such long odds. Right? So it's paying four for Colombia to win that game.
Really?
Okay. Well, I'll take that because I don't think it's that long. But I do think that I'm probably throwing my money away.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, I think it'll be a tough game. I can see Colombia winning this. And everyone being, oh, okay, we were just getting excited over nothing.
Yeah. I can see that too.
I can see England going through. I think it's an even game. Even without James, I think Colombia are good. They fight and they are bastards when they need to be bastards. And they have a huge crowd. England don't have that many fans in Russia this year. I mean, they probably have more than most teams, but not as many as some of these South American teams. And I'm telling you, that'll be a tough game.
So what are you tipping?
What am I tipping? I'm going to tip... Well, as I said, I think it's 50-50. Am I allowed to tip that?
No.
Okay. I'll tip Colombia.
Okay. Good job.
Okay. Well, I think that's a wrap. So, again, thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to the International Football Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at @intfootpodcast and on Facebook, the International Football Podcast.
Until next time, we hope we'll be able to get back after this round of 16 for the next one.
Yeah.
Preview the quarterfinals, see how our tips have gone.
Yeah. So thanks to everyone for supporting us. Thank you.
Thank you.